good morning, everybody. Well, oh my God, impeachment still going on. I can't believe it. This thing is never going to end. We've got the hearings again. 9 o'clock they start. We'll dip into them later on in the show. We got four White House aides ready to testify. Not going to change anybody's opinion. I saw a report yesterday. Oh, good morning, Lynn.
Oh, hi, Michael.
I saw a report yesterday where they were talking to voters in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Most people are like, I'm so sick of this. I'm tuning out. I don't care. I don't understand it. I don't know what they're doing. It's not changing my opinion of the president one way or the other. If you supported him, you're still with him. If you hate him, you still hate him. This impeachment is the biggest nothing, and it is the Democratic Congress that has achieved nothing, is doing nothing, will do nothing, and should be voted out of office
come
the fall. Right, Joe?
By the way, you were okay until you said the Democratic Congress has done nothing, because they've passed a boatload of laws that are sitting on Mitch McConnell's lap that he refuses to act.
Well, McConnell's not going to sign on the laws that Democrats want, Len.
Well,
I mean, he's a Republican. What do you think? How do you think it works?
Don't blame the Democrats for not doing anything in Congress.
Len,
they've done a lot of stuff.
They're doing nothing but impeaching the president.
Joe, nobody asked you.
Joe, what do you think?
Why is Joe piping up? Nobody asked Joe a thing.
I'm going to ask him right now. Joe, what do you think?
Good morning, Joe. Hi, Joe.
Well, I'll keep to myself.
No.
What do you think, Joe?
Passing a bill doesn't mean you've done anything.
Exactly.
You can pass 1,000 bills. You got to get them signed.
Yes.
That's the thing. You have to negotiate and compromise.
Blame the Democrats. Blame Mitch McConnell for sitting on everything, including the gun.
Len, we know what their priority is.
Doesn't matter what their priority is. They have passed bills.
Shut up. Listen to me, Len.
What?
Come on.
Natalie, he told me to shut up.
The Democrats are...
I don't think that's nice.
Don't say that to him.
Just because I called you a schmuck yesterday on the air. It's no reason for you to
sensible person I can have a conversation around here is Joe. Joe.
Oh, no. Now you've scraped the bottom of the barrel.
Democrats are putting forth legislation that Republicans will never sign. That means you have to have negotiation, give and take, compromise. The Democrats are not willing to compromise with the Republicans because all they want to do is just put up legislation that gins up the left wing of their base, and then they want to impeach the president. That's all they are doing, Len.
They don't want to give Trump anything that he can say is an accomplishment.
Guys, you want to talk about guns?
Oh, gosh. Come on, Len.
Why? Come on.
Give it up.
Oh, give it up because the president said, of course he would support sensible legislation. Then the NRA got into his pocket and he said no. McConnell's sitting on it, even though the American
people
want it.
Len, here's the thing. There's a Second Amendment. You've got to come out against the Second Amendment. You believe in repealing the Second Amendment.
It's not what I'm saying. And I don't believe in repealing the Second Amendment. I believe in sensible gun legislation, which the Democrats in the House have passed, and the president said he would sign.
Here's what you have to do, Len. You're going to have to elect some Democrats to the Senate.
Which I think that would be great.
Maybe you could get some Democrats.
Do you think the Democrats are going to
get control of the Senate?
I hope so. Because I don't think Ruth's going to last 4 years. And
if Trump
gets reelected, the Democrats have to get control of the Senate, or else I'm just going to
shoot yourself?
No, I'm just going to go back to sports.
That would be a blessing. What's going on with Ruth? You have a big three? Also in the big three, we have a new accuser now. She's Jane Doe, they're calling her. She says when she was 15 years old, she was brutally raped by Jeffrey Epstein. More importantly, because he's dead, she says all of those people around him, i.e. Bill Clinton, Prince Andrew, she said it's ridiculous to think they had no idea what was going on. And by the way, that interview that Prince Andrew gave, he's in more trouble than ever after that interview.
And you know what? He's also accused now of using the N-word, so he's just falling deeper and deeper.
Now, rounding out the big three, this is an interesting one, Joe.
I think so.
I would like your news
judgment. Yeah, Joe, what do you think of this?
So I found this...
Already, I don't like it.
Well, Joe, you're not.
I know it.
Should I play the soundbite?
Well, let me set it up.
Well, it doesn't need a setup.
Eric Swalwell.
Swalwell, whatever his name is.
That Democratic congressman who briefly ran for president.
Right. He was on MSNBC. That's the only thing.
With Chris Matthews.
Right. That's the only lead-in you need.
Right. And he
No, that's the only lead-in you need.
Here's his quote.
Here's the soundbite, Joe.
Here's his quote.
Tell me what you think of his soundbite. This is Eric Swalwell on MSNBC.
Chris, so far, the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election.
Really, you're gonna laugh, Joe? Come on!
He passed gas on Chris Matthews' show.
You so immature.
Play it again, Lou.
You're laughing too.
Play it again, Len. Play it again.
You know,
I'm in a locker room.
I know.
Play it again. Play it again.
The newsroom. Use specific audio DNA technology, and he isolated.
Play it again.
He isolated the sound. And now,
oh my!
Now here's the thing.
Here's, that could sound like a chair moving on
well,
the ground.
No.
Yeah, well,
no.
Listen to it. It could.
Well, let's listen again. Oh, good.
Chris, so far, the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election.
Stop laughing.
I watched it. You got to watch the video. We'll put it on our website.
Yeah, because he does move.
He actually lifts up. Like a rocket ship.
Stop.
Rocket man. He's a rocket man.
No, I want to listen very
carefully. No, everyone, we need rules. There's going to be only so much we're allowed to play
every
this.
Every segment, Len.
Oh god.
Wait a second. Let's listen very carefully. Here it is.
Oh,
now
yeah.
Here's the thing. Apparently Terry tells me that a hardball put out a tweet saying that it was a mug being dragged across the desk.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Does that sound like a mug?
Can we reach out to Chris Matthews and see if he'll come on to explain the situation?
Let's reach out to Lou. He's our audio engineer. Lou, does that sound like a mug dragging across a desk? You want to hear it again? Okay, Lou. Here's Lou. Lou wants to hear it again.
Stop it!
Lou said he wants to hear it again. All right, Lou, you're our audio engineer.
First time you listen to Lou.
Our audio expert.
Lou, analyze this.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Now, is that a former presidential cat? You need to hear it again?
No!
He needs the context. Where was his mic? Down by his pants?
Well, is that a former presidential candidate passing wind, or
a mug? How old are you guys?
Is that a mug being dragged across the...
You decide. 1-800-321-07.
Yeah, what do you guys think?
You weigh in. Is that a mug being dragged across the table, or is
this
that...
This day is already
321-07-10.
The funny thing was, I had this story. I thought, oh, this is a throwaway fun story. Len, this is the best story of the day.
You put this in the big three?
Michael did.
No, Len,
I didn't do the big three.
And you hate stories about passing gas.
I do. I won't even say the F
and
word.
You put it in the big three.
Well, I mean, it's interesting.
Natalie wants to talk about stop and frisk. For dinner, whatever.
Well, this kind of thing doesn't happen on live television. Len, play it again.
Natalie said he had Mexican for dinner. Okay, here's the context.
Chris, so far, the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election.
What's Justin's feeling about the impeachment?
This is so appropriate because all they're saying is a bunch of hot air.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Coleslaw, whatever his name is. He is full of hot air like everybody else. That could be Nancy Pelosi. Yeah. That could be Jared Nadler.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what Nadler sounds like? Ooh.
That's the Democratic case right there.
Pretty much.
Okay, and we absolutely, totally have reached our limit.
You mentioned Pelosi, which brings up an interesting question. Does female gas passing sound different?
Well, it's not as loud.
Yeah.
They're more dainty.
Well, let's see.
Oh man, that was a big one. Really?
This is great.
I got to tell you,
this is a highlight of my career right here.
Could you imagine how that must have sounded in the studio? Because the mics are pretty sensitive. You have to get close to
exactly.
Them. So to pick it up from behind there, it had to be pretty loud.
From behind there?
Well, you know where.
That's where it comes from.
Yeah.
Natalie.
Now, Natalie's taking phone calls.
Oh, really?
You've asked people to call in, so she's screening them. Here you go. How about Bob in Long Beach? Bob, we need your help on this, Bob.
Bob, what do you think?
A typical Democrat clearing his throat just before his...
Exactly! Exactly, Bob! 100%! 100%! Oh, Bob is right.
Have a great day, guys.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks for listening. I told you this was the best story of the day.
It's true. Let's get serious for a moment. What do you think is going to come from these hearings today, Len? What are you? Let me ask you, Len. What are you, as a Trump hater, what are you looking for?
I wouldn't call myself a Trump hater.
Oh, come on.
Oh, yeah, boy. Without a doubt, you are.
You are. So what are you looking for?
Turns this mic on?
What are you hoping is
I'm not hoping anything. What will emerge is that Vindman, the lieutenant colonel who's going to testify, is the first person who actually listened into the call. So he will have firsthand knowledge of what was said, not secondhand, not thirdhand, not never Trumper. He's a lieutenant colonel with a great service, a Purple Heart, the whole thing. And he...
Oh, my God.
Len, was that you?
Stop
Len!
It,
gee.
Stop
I can't
it.
Believe it. Why did you do that?
Len, you jumped.
Len!
You see?
I can't.
For the record.
Don't even try to go back on that.
For
one.
The record,
I can't believe you
that
did
was
that
not
list.
Me.
Oh, yes, they all stay.
Yeah. Natalie, that was Riedel.
Open the door,
I can't
Joe.
Believe
open
it.
The door.
That was
open the
door. That was Riedel. That wasn't yeah. me. That was not.
All right, this is totally enough.
Go back and play my audio. I was in the middle of talking. I couldn't have done that.
No, thank
so
you.
Was Slowell.
Oh, man.
It's what all you. It's what comes out of you guys.
Democrats.
Every time you talk about Trump, that's what comes out of you.
I have a suggestion for everyone.
What?
Let's just, Natalie, take the audio from this first segment and send it directly to the Marconi Awards. Don't
oh,
even
yeah,
fill out the paperwork.
Definitely.
Don't even apply for an award. Just send them the audio. I think
we just made radio gold, folks.
I think we did.
Radio gold. Absolutely. That's what we made here. All right. When we get back, hey, how old is your dog? Now, this is interesting, Lynn. There's yeah. a new way of calculating
correct.
The age of a dog, and it's going to surprise you just how old your canines are. Coming up next.
Well, that was certainly interesting.
What? Always interesting.
Just to revisit what we were talking
oh,
about
no,
in the first
no.
segment.
Oh, no, Natalie's, he can't, he's 12.
Well.
I'm working with a 12-year-old.
No, this is important.
I can't. I don't feel so great today,
okay.
And this is just going to put me over
okay,
the edge.
Okay, so this was Congressman Eric Swalwell. He was on MSNBC's Hardball yesterday.
Chris, so far, the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election.
Okay, so there was that little noise that popped up during his soundbite. So anyway, Hardball tweeted out. I had to clear this up.
Okay.
Here's what Hardball tweeted.
Are you clearing the air there, Lynn?
I am.
Sorry to disappoint the conspiracy theorists. It was the Hardball mug scraping across the desk.
No, it wasn't.
To which Eric Swalwell tweeted in all caps, total exoneration.
Did he really?
Yeah. And Andrew Yang tweeted, I believe it, Eric Swalwell. So there you go. This is important.
Too much of a good thing. Not that I would say that's a good thing, but.
Why did one of our listeners tweet that women don't get flatulence and the Three Stooges?
Yeah.
That's
our listeners said,
you know,
women just don't get
true.
Flatulence or the Three Stooges.
I don't get the jokes.
You don't get Three Stooges?
No, not at all.
Yeah. Oh, when they muss up your hair and stick
you don't
my
like
finger
noogies?
In your eye?
You didn't get noogies as a kid?
Yeah. Just remember being tortured by my brother with that one. Yeah.
Noogies. Yeah.
Natalie doesn't seem to be in a jovial mood
no.
this morning.
Well, what else is new?
What's wrong?
No, she's not feeling well.
What's coming? What do you have?
It's a cold. No big deal. But you guys are just annoying me.
Why? Play it again.
Why?
She told me.
Come on.
You know what she told me?
Play one more time.
She said she didn't feel swell well today.
Oh,
that's what
that's
she told
me. Cute. Very cute.
That was actually pretty funny.
Oh, thank you, Robert.
That's good.
Thank you, Robert. All right, dog
well
age.
Done. All right, so here's the thing about dogs. Now, I don't have any dogs, but I'm sure a lot of people do have dogs.
Yeah, sure.
This show's going to the dogs.
Yeah.
So, you know, you used to calculate the human age of a dog by multiplying its
by
age
seven.
By seven, right?
Yeah.
So if your dog's three.
21.
Be 21.
Yeah.
If it's four, what would it be?
20. What is this, a math quiz? I bet Anthony could get this, our associate producer.
I can't get it. I'm not good at math.
28 anyway, times 4.
Well, that's wrong. That is a myth. It
really?
Says, yep.
Who says this?
Well, there's a new study out.
Yeah.
Researchers say they're looking at dogs' DNA. That's really the way that you can tell
how
old
they are. Oh, see, the science getting in the way of a good myth.
That's yeah, but is. Dogs are older than you think.
Really?
Yes, they are older than you
older?
Think. Yes.
More
so,
than 7.
More than 7, so you got to multiply it by 10 or 12.
No, but there's some kind of formula. You double this and add 32 and some crazy
well, it's mainly
thing.
About the molecules in their DNA.
Right.
So if you want to know how old your dog is, you have to have a DNA sample.
But that, your dog is what age it is.
Correct.
If it was born in 1990 and passed in 1997, the dog was 7.
How long do dogs
normally
live?
But we want to know how old it is in human years.
But it's not human. Why would we want to calculate it in human years?
Why are we doing
I never understood why people did that.
Why did you give me the story then?
Because it was interesting.
Hey, Natalie, how long do dogs normally live?
It depends on the breed.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what would be a
what's the life?
What would be a long life?
I've never had a dog.
Do dogs pass gas, Natalie?
Probably. Actually, you know what? I think we've actually researched which animals do and don't.
Oh, right, chickens don't.
Chickens don't?
Stop it.
Well, cows do. Isn't that part of global warming or something?
Yes, cows do. Big time.
Yeah.
Because the climate change
girls. Is this
where
the entire show is going to
yes,
go today?
Yes,
pretty much.
Yeah. This is it?
This is it. Happy Tuesday.
I have to leave.
Okay.
I might have to just leave.
Pass.
No objection from you and me. Hi,
Natalie. I'm
don't
with
let
you.
The door hit you. That.
Oh, come on! You were laughing. No, well, yeah. You were laughing louder than anybody else this morning.
Okay, it's over.
It's over. It's Let's over. Move on. There's so many things to talk about.
But it's going to come around again at 7.
Oh, again eight.
Then eight.
Wait a second.
Simone's devoting the whole show to it.
I'm not going to make it through today. I'm just
how
not.
Many times do they tell us that people only listen to radio shows for 8 minutes, 10 minutes at a time?
We can repurpose.
So this
segment.
Is all new. Good. This is all new to someone who wasn't here before.
That's totally true.
So for every 10 minutes.
That's right.
Please you give don't us, do this. You're torturing me.
You know
me.
What? We have a new slogan. You give us 10 minutes, we'll give you...
Being the only woman in the room, man, it is so tough. It is so hard.
This is
here.
All over NPR this morning. Now.
I'm sorry.
All right, what else are you doing here, Len? Oh. It's your segment.
Well, this guy in California is upset. Because his daughter, you know, came up with her list of what she wanted for Christmas.
Oh, how much?
Well, here's what she wanted. She wanted, she wrote to Operation Whatever, North Pole, mm-hmm. and she wants an iPhone.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's reasonable.
A new MacBook Air.
All right.
A Chanel purse.
How old is she?
How old is she? Let me see.
In dog
I think
years.
She's 10.
Yeah.
She wants a Chanel purse and she's 10 years old?
10-year-old, yeah. What are Gucci slides? Is that shoes?
They're, you know, they're like flip-flops that...
Okay, she wants Gucci slides.
Oh, my
and
God. She wants a spoiled little brat.
She wants a pet rabbit. She wants AirPods. She wants a GoPro. And she wants $4,000
in cash. $4,000
in cash! A total Christmas list for Santa of 10 grand. Well,
where
there you go.
Come
it's
up
L.A.
With
I oh. love the fact she wants $4,000 in cash.
Oh, she's got to be a spoiled little rich kid from Beverly Hills or something like
all right,
that.
All right, that was fun. Now we got to come back to reality. It's
Joe's got to do his news.
Joe Barrett with the news. Good morning, Joe.
Oh, we're going to impeachment proceedings.
Hi, Joe. Good morning.
Good morning, fart boys.
Welcome to the frat house. Let us, John Belushi.
What did you say, the frat house or the fart house?
The frat house.
Just switch those two letters.
All right,
Joe.
All right, we got a lot of flatulence coming our way today.
Oh,
We've
we certainly do up there at Capitol Hill. That's it.
Four witnesses going before Congress at the impeachment inquiry. Jennifer Williams, an aide to the vice president. Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman. They listened to the phone call between President Trump and Ukraine's president. What's interesting here is, you know, they described this thing at the phone call as unusual and inappropriate. And you could
I thought it was perfect. I don't know.
And well, if you heard any Donald Trump phone call, you're probably going to say, boy, that's unusual and inappropriate.
Of course, he doesn't speak in the old diplomatic, swampy speech that all these bureaucrats
there you go,
speak
just
in.
Defend the president at all costs.
Another witness testified behind closed doors. He's never seen anything like the phone call from Gordon Sondland to Trump.
I thought you were objective during the newscast. You told
I am. I'm just, that was a statement of fact.
No, yeah, you were right. Just, you had the president's back. Well, none of his phone calls sound normal.
So. Well, would you agree?
I haven't heard all his phone calls, but this one wasn't perfect. Would you agree with that?
You know what?
Yeah. Go do the news, Joe.
Yeah, forget about it. Go back to the farts.
Stop it!
I don't use that word.
Mayor de Blasio wants Mike Bloomberg to continue the apology tour. Bloomberg has already apologized for stop and frisk. De Blasio telling New York One he's got a lot of other things he needs
this
to say
ridiculous.
Sorry
De Blasio is ridiculous.
Well, listen to what he has to say.
That hits 2008. He still had a lot of time left in his mayoralty. He really had no plan to address it the whole time. And that's when I ran, I talked about that centrally, and people wanted that.
Yeah, see, de Blasio took care of the recession.
Why does anyone care about anything that de Blasio says? He is the biggest loser in the political world.
De Blasio says Bloomberg should also apologize for not addressing income inequality.
Oh, yeah, must do that.
Oh, my God.
Charges expected to be announced today against two guards who were supposed to be keeping watch on Jeffrey Epstein. The guards at the Metropolitan Correction Center were going to be charged with falsifying records. They're suspected of failing to check on Epstein the night he died and then falsifying the log entries to say that they had. Officials say Epstein committed suicide after being accused of abusing minors. Others say he may have been murdered. Our news today is brought to you by Gary Goldberg Financial Services. Schedule a free consultation by visiting ggfs.com. Finally here, a missing New York man has been found 33 years after he disappeared, but he says, I was never missing. Rick Hazelton was declared missing, later legally declared dead after his family didn't hear from him.
Did they collect the insurance?
I don't know, but he just moved from Glens Falls to the other side of the country.
They never told anyone?
Didn't tell his family?
No, I guess not. He says also when he moved 33 years ago, no cell phones, no social media, and I just fell out of touch with my family and friends. I just moved. There is a happy ending to the story here. He's back in touch with his family and friends, and we'll spend Thanksgiving.
Well, who's his family? His wife, his kids?
Yeah.
He really
missed
them.
Left his wife and kids?
Yeah, just moved away.
Happy ending after 33 years.
I'm back.
Yeah, here I am. Can I eat?
Thanks, what's Joe. For dinner, hon?
Thanks, Joe.
Didn't miss me.
Coming up next, the fallout continues. Bloomberg may throw his hat into the ring any day now, but Stop and Frisk is going to continue to dog him. You know, there's a common misconception among seniors that all their medical expenses will be covered by Medicare when they turn 65. Well, the reality is that traditional Medicare only covers certain expenses. But Centers Plan for Healthy Living has several healthy plans for seniors whose coverage goes beyond traditional Medicare. Centers Plan for Healthy Living has several Medicare Advantage plans with all the coverage of traditional Medicare, plus incredible additional benefits like comprehensive dental, hearing, and even vision care. Plus, some of CPHL's Medicare Advantage plans have no premiums or deductibles and cost nothing for primary care visits. They also include a prescription drug plan and may include up to $140 a month to spend on eligible non-prescription items like toothpaste and vitamins. Get more than Medicare by joining the Centers Plan for Healthy Living. It's as easy as 123. Just call 1-877-CPHL-123. That's 1-877-CPHL-123 or visit centersplan.com.
Well, aside from our pal, former governor, New York Governor Patterson, nobody really is taking Bloomberg at his word that he really is sorry about pushing stop and frisk. A lot of people say too little, too late. De Blasio's been knocking him. You see a lot of editorial writers in the New York Times are not accepting his apology for stop and frisk. And I have to say, Len, despite what Governor Patterson said, because Governor Patterson told us yesterday that he's had private conversations with Bloomberg, and Bloomberg said, you know, I feel I pushed it too far, stop and frisk. I didn't think his apology was that sincere, frankly, yesterday.
Well, it sounded like he was
pandering,
making a speech. Yeah. It didn't, from an oration standpoint, yeah. Talking, you know, if it sounds like it's coming from the heart, mm-hmm. If you say something like, listen, I got to tell you, folks, I've been thinking a lot about this, and I just want to tell you, I screwed up. But then, that's one thing. But if you say, I want to say I made a mistake.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just doesn't...
It was totally scripted.
Yeah.
It was pandering. He did it in an African-American church, because if he's going to run for president, he has to have the support of African-American voters, and they're very unhappy with stop and frisk. I don't gauge Bloomberg's chances very high. I don't think this guy travels well beyond New York State. He may be popular in California, New York, deep blue states, but I just don't see him catching on fire in Iowa and Wisconsin or South Carolina. He's too East Coast savvy.
Well, yep.
And also, the other thing, I don't think the Democrats are in any mood to nominate a billionaire to be their standard bearer.
Well, that aside, I think you can't discount the amount of money and attention he's drawn to the gun issue. And that's going to hurt him in many red states, obviously, for being so outspoken.
Absolutely.
For spending so much money. That'll hurt him there. Well, I thought what Governor Patterson told us yesterday was very interesting, because obviously Governor Patterson is African-American.
Right.
Their terms overlap. So the governor was governor when Bloomberg was mayor.
Mm-hmm.
They overlapped for a while. And Patterson told us that Bloomberg told him on several occasions that he may have gone too far and wasn't real happy with how it all went.
Right.
And then he had that same conversation with the New York Post. I don't know if you saw that today.
Yeah. Well, here's the question. If he was telling this to Governor Patterson privately, why didn't he come out back then and say it publicly? That's what I don't get.
That's a good question. So obviously de Blasio went after him on New York One.
I'm not inside his head, but it sure doesn't look particularly authentic to happen just at this moment.
Well, it doesn't. I mean, de Blasio's right there.
I agree with him.
It didn't look 100% authentic. It did look like pandering in part.
The bigger question is not how authentic or inauthentic the apology is. It's that why did he not listen to the voices of so many people who said this was a broken policy?
Now, my feeling of stop and frisk, I thought it was an incredibly effective, very important tool that the police use to make this city safer. I don't think that Bloomberg should apologize for pushing stop and frisk. And it's stop, question, and frisk. We must always remember that. My friend Bill Bratton always tells me, It's stop, question, and frisk, meaning that the police stop somebody who is behaving.
That doesn't make it any better.
No, it does. I don't know why. Why are you against this? It saved the city. Stop, see, question, and frisk.
Because it was arbitrary, and
it was not arbitrary.
Yes, it was.
No,
they
it was
walked
not.
Up some guy, and they had a little hunch that this guy's a bad guy. Excuse me, want to talk to you? And then a lot of times they'll just slam him against the car or up against the wall.
Where are you getting this nonsense from,
Michael?
Joe?
That's what happened a lot of times.
No, the way they did it was somebody was behaving strangely, erratically, suspiciously. You stop, you say, hey, what's going on? Let's talk. And then the guy looks a little shady or shifty here and there. And then you say, well, this guy's up to something. Then you frisk him. And oftentimes you find out the guns in the pot and all the kind
of
stuff.
If you had to identify somebody you thought was shady, it wouldn't be you. If you're walking down the street, all these people walking down the street, let me find a shady guy. They wouldn't be you. Well, they'd pick out a minority.
What am I going to do that's shady? I'm not mugging anybody.
People were stopped and frisked just for being black or Latino. I happen to agree with Joe here. Michael, just pipe down for a second. The numbers were overwhelming. 700,000 a year, 800,000, overwhelmingly black and Latino. You heard what Governor Patterson told us. His friend's kid, who's African-American and lives on Fifth Avenue near 14th Street, was stopped several times just for walking down the street and being black
in his own neighborhood.
All right, so what do you guys want? Do you want to go back to the high crime rate that we had in the 80s and the early 90s? Is that what you want to happen to this
city?
You're
ignoring the facts.
You want to walk down the street and get mugged again, Len?
Two things. Stop and frisk has not stopped. Or stop questioning.
It absolutely did.
It has not stopped.
Talked to Bill Bratt, and he will tell you it had a huge effect on the crime rates in the late 80s and early 90s when they implemented the policy.
Two things.
Absolutely.
Stop. Question and frisk has not stopped. And number two, they found the crime rates did not go up when they cut the number of stops from 800,000 to 100,000.
I'm telling you, if you pull back on policing, this city's going to go back the way it was in the 70s. And I guess you want that, guys. I guess you're happy with that.
Well, here's James O'Neill.
It's a dangerous city again.
Here's the police commissioner.
I'm glad he did that, because that's going to help. That's going to help the city move forward.
Oh, please. The city is falling apart again under the leadership of this.
Hey, Joe, since you're here and since you're hanging out with your buds here, I have to ask you about this New Jersey deal. So apparently these states that say they're going to legalize marijuana, like New York and New Jersey, it doesn't get through the legislature, so New York has given up on it. New Jersey now has basically punted and saying we're going to let the voters decide. I don't know. Why can't legislatures get the job done?
You know, they've abdicated their responsibility. The problem is it's a Pandora's box. Once you go there, you're going to get a lot of problems. You look at Colorado and the states that have done it. And the New Jersey legislature, these guys don't have the political courage to do it and say, we want this, and then we'll be responsible for any of the consequences.
Well, what about the courage to say we don't want it? I'm not saying they have to pass it, but why not saying we can't pass it or don't want to pass it?
They all want it because of the revenue.
Oh, that's it?
They want it because of the revenue. They just don't want to be blamed when all these problems start cropping up.
Well, they seem to think that New Jerseyans or New Jerseyites, whichever they are going to overwhelmingly approve this. Do you think so? If it comes to a marijuana vote?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I had always been in favor of it, but I got to tell you, it really is. It's problematic. You know, you just get a lot of potheads running around here, and, you know, the wrong people are going to get it.
Yeah.
And it's an easy revenue source for governments, but it creates a whole lot more social problems. We got enough to deal with alcohol problems and the illegal use of drugs. We don't have to, you know, you legalize pot, I think you're just going to create more.
Listen, problems. I'm telling you, I was in Denver about a year and a half ago, and they have it, it's legal there, and the whole city has this shabby appearance for all these people hanging out higher than kites, stoned out of their minds. It's a quality of life issue.
Yeah, how can they test driving under the influence of marijuana? Can they? Because they obviously have the breathalyzer for alcohol.
Guess the smell, maybe.
I don't know.
Right. If somebody's high as a kite, you can tell then.
Well, I would hope, but at least they have the breathalyzer where they actually have a number. And what do they do for marijuana?
Well, that's another issue that's associated with legalization.
Stop,
how do you control it?
Yeah. Stop, question, and puff. That's what it'll be.
Stop, question, and puff.
That's right.
You want to share this, officer?
I'm telling you, it's a quality of life issue. Denver looks like a real shabby place, and it's largely to do with the legalization of pot. So, all right, when we get back, this is interesting. The Trump administration, Len, is no longer going to consider those settlements, those Israeli settlements in the Palestinian areas. They're not going to consider them a violation of international law, which is a big change in the U.S. policy towards Israel. We're going to check in with our pal ABC News correspondent Jordana Miller in Jerusalem. That's coming up next.
Hey, I've been consuming over 10 servings of fruits and vegetables for a while now because I want to give my immune system a fighting chance against viruses that I can get just from shaking someone's hand. I've been able to do this because of the great fruits and veggies from Balance of Nature. Now, for a limited time, they're giving WOR listeners an additional 35% off their first order with promo code WOR. Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies are real. 31 different whole ripened fruits and veggies ground into a capsule. Give them a call. They'll even put you in touch with a free health coach to help you get set up and answer your questions. Call now. For a limited time, you get 35% off your first preferred order and free shipping. Call 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751 and get 35% off your first order and free shipping with promo code WOR. Or go to balanceofnature.com. Use promo code WOR for 35% off your first order and free shipping of Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
It's not, per se, inconsistent with international law.
So in other words, they're not illegal, according to Pompeo.
The hard truth is, there will never be a judicial resolution to the conflict, and arguments about who is right and wrong as a matter of international law will not bring peace.
You know, people are saying this will hurt the peace process, and Pompeo's argument is that, well, nothing's helped the peace process in the past.
Right.
So why not try this? Hey, let's check in with our favorite Jerusalem reporter, Jordana Miller, ABC News. Jordana, did this come out of the blue there, or because I don't know, I didn't see this coming over here.
Yeah, I have to say it did kind of come out of the blue here. The news broke just a little bit before it came out in the States. It appears to be linked to the timing of the political situation here. I mean, it appears to be some kind of lifeline that President Trump and the administration are throwing towards Israel's Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, who, as you know, is just in a lot of political trouble. We're nearing the deadline now in about a day where his challenger may form a government and cut him out. Netanyahu is still trying to block him. We may go to a third election. We may have some more deadlock for a few weeks. So somehow this feels like a kind of gift to Netanyahu, who, of course, is gladly taking it, already taking credit and saying that, you know, this is a decision that he has long promoted. And if you do look back at Netanyahu, you know, over the span of his career, I mean, back in the 1990s, he was saying, you know, I don't understand why the international community thinks, you know, that the West Bank is a place where Jews can't live. These are the biblical lands. This is where most of the history of the Jewish people unfolded. You know, back then it was a very radical position, but it appears that now the United States, in a sense, has taken that position that it's no longer illegal. This, of course, you know, is just going to complicate tremendously, resolving the national conflict here with the Palestinians, and they are just outraged, calling this illegal, irresponsible, you know, saying it'll destroy the peace process. I mean, if the administration had any hopes of putting their peace plan on the table in the future and the Palestinians looking at it at all, the odds were bad before. Now they seem nil.
Oh, Jordana, is this decision, the Trump administration's decision, is it popular within Israel?
It is very popular within Israel. I mean, for, I would say, the majority of the country. But, of course, the left-wing and peace camp, you know, is opposed to this move because they think that it will just undermine the chances for a real solution to this problem. And remember, this is a fight over real estate. The Palestinians have, you know, they've made the argument for decades that, you know, they can't have a state if they can't have, like, one area where there's continuous territory that they can call a state. And, you know, if you have ever been here and been to the West Bank, I mean, some of the Jewish settlements and some of the larger ones are just right deep in the heart of the West Bank. I mean, they cut across the area. So in the end, one has to imagine that some of those settlements have to have to be uprooted in order to give the Palestinians some kind of state, you know, and for many people here who still believe that's, you know, the best way to solve the issue between, you know, the Israelis and the Palestinians, well, this decision by Trump has just made it more difficult.
We're on with Jordana Miller, ABC News correspondent in Jerusalem. Before we run, Jordana, I kind of throw up my hands and say, I'll never see peace in my lifetime between these two organizations, between Israel and the Palestinians. Do you foresee this ever coming to some kind of peace plan ever?
Yeah, you know, I hope in my lifetime we really see some kind of progress. I mean, you know, it feels like there have just been so many setbacks for the Palestinians over the last couple of years. And I don't know, it's going to take a lot, I think, to coax them back to the table, whether in this administration or future administrations, because they seem to really have lost any faith in the U.S. as a mediator. And remember, when we look back at the other peace plans in this region, right, Israel's peace with Egypt and with Jordan, I mean, they just could not have happened without the Americans who, you know, put their foot down and really brought the two parties and offered incentives, obviously, to the Egyptians and the Jordanians to do it. So, you know, we just seem so far from that place right now. You know, it's discouraging.
Well, Georgiana Miller, I'm sure we'll be speaking with you soon because this election thing is going to come to a head any day now. So thanks a lot, Georgiana.
I know. Netanyahu is amazing.
The fun and the drama.
The way Netanyahu survives is incredible.
He does. Nine lives.
The guy with nine lives. We'll see. It may end soon, guys. We'll have to see.
Thanks, Georgiana. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Georgiana Miller, ABC News, does a great job over there. Yeah, and she's right. I didn't realize tomorrow's the deadline for Benny Gantz to come up with his coalition government.
Which he apparently can't do.
And if he can't do, then it's going to go to a third election.
Oh, my God.
So, I don't know. I just don't. It just never seems to end.
There's not going to be peace there ever in our lifetime.
I don't think so. Coming up next, ABC political analyst Alex Castellanos checks in. He's going to talk about the red flags that were raised by the president's partial physical. As the impeachment hearings continue today at 9 a.m. But right now, it's time for the news at 7 o'clock.